remove the small speck of the sawdust in the Hindu eyes, try to remove the plank from your own life. And I thought that was a remarkable statement. And it goes in line with some of the things I wrote in my thesis. How a transformed life can impact a whole community of non-Christians. The power of our testimony is not in the things we share with others or in the preaching of the gospel. The power of the testimony that the Lord said when He sent the disciples, He said, very soon you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you're going to be my witnesses. When He said that, He did not mean that you will go and preach and say a lot of things about nice things about Jesus, although that would include that, but the primary focus was, or the emphasis was, the lifestyle of a Christian. And that is where we lack, and that is the challenge we have as members of the Overcomers Harvest Net Church. And I think we should accept that challenge and try to live a life that would demonstrate the love and the power of Jesus. And today, I'll talk briefly about the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. So if you would open the Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, it talks about the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it starts with love, joy, peace, and it goes on to patience. Then it lists goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And I think I missed one.
Kindness.
So these are the 9 attributes of the fruit of Holy Spirit. Now in the Bible, the Lord often talked about or compared the human life to a tree. And apart from the Lord, there are few other scriptures where we are told that the human life can be compared to, or especially the life of a believer or a righteous person can be compared to a tree that is planted by the waters or by the river, where the roots of that tree would go deep down into the water and draw nourishment from the water. And this water or river represents God. So a tree, a believer, who is like a tree planted by the river side or by the bank of a river, has his roots going to the river, representing God, drawing things from God, and then manifesting in his or her life. Obviously, fruits are grown on trees, right? Trees in a generic term, because some of the fruits are not grown on big trees, but they are found on climbers, creepers, and runners. So, I think what we should focus then on is the root and not the fruit. I know most of the time we want to know the fruits, we want to understand the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we want to study it so that we can have it, and we're never going to have it. Because the fruit has to do with the root. What is in the core of a tree is going to be reflected in the forms of fruits. So, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, and then also in 12th chapter of Matthew, verse 33, the Lord said 2 important things about the tree and the fruit. He said, a good tree will bring forth good fruits, and a bad tree will bring forth bad fruit. And then He said, therefore make the tree good, so that you can have good fruits. So to make the tree good means, He said, focus on the tree, work hard on the tree, then you will have good fruit. But I think most of the time Christians focus too much on the fruit and they never get it, because you cannot have good fruit by studying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can have the fruit of the Holy Spirit by studying how to have your roots in God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, in the third chapter, Ephesians has a wonderful prayer by the Apostle Paul for the whole church. And in that prayer, he says, I pray that you will be rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. The word rooted actually in the Greek expresses a long sentence. It means that I'm praying that your roots will grow down into the love of Jesus. Now usually we think about the roots going down, but the Bible uses an expression, a unique expression, saying that your roots will grow down into the love of Jesus so that you can grow up. So how much you grow in the Lord is directly proportional to how much you grow down into the love of Jesus. There can be no true growth in a Christian without his roots or without her roots growing down into the love of Jesus. And Paul's prayer always has been that we as believers will have our roots growing down into the love of Jesus so that our foundation remains strong in his love. And once you and I have it, the fruit will become visible. Without that, there will be no lasting fruits. Remember, the Lord told in the Gospel of John, I think it's in chapter 16, if I'm not wrong, he said, I have chosen you and that I have ordained you that you may bring lasting fruits. So the Lord was looking for fruits that will last not only in this life, but will also be transferred to eternity. So that's the kind of fruit that Galatians is talking about in the fifth chapter. I think I gave you a lot of things. Okay. So I'll try to slow down now. In order to have fruit, you need to have a tree. And we are the trees. Okay? But in order to have good fruits, the tree has to be good. For us to be good and to produce good fruits, we need to have our roots going deep down into the love of Jesus, without which we cannot produce fruits or good fruits. The fruit listed in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 22 and 23, is one fruit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It is one fruit with the 9 attributes or 9 aspects to it. And those 9 attributes actually show you the 9 attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is the evidence of Jesus Christ. That is how the Lord is. God is love. God is joy. He is peace. He is patient or long-suffering. He is gentle. He is always good. He is kind. And he has lot of self-control. These are the qualities of the Lord Jesus. When you are rooted in his love, you're going to show love. When you're rooted in his love, you're going to have his peace. You're going to have his joy. You're going to have his patience. You're going to be kind. So if you want to know how to grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, focus on the root of your life. Where are the roots going down? Especially the top root of the tree, the main root of the tree, which holds the tree, has to go down into the love of Jesus. Once that is taken care, the fruit or the different attributes of the fruit will become visible in your life. So if you want to see the fruits, work on the root. And how can you and I work on the root? How can you work on the root? If today you will check your life and see how much love you have for God and for one another. And if you want to know how much love you have for others, check how much joy you have inside. How much peace you have inside. How much patience you have. How much self-control you have. How gentle are you? How kind are you? How faithful are you? That is one way to check how much you love others. Because if you have love, you will be kind. If you have love, you will be gentle. Now, gentleness is not just being nice to others. Gentleness, one of the things the Lord taught me about gentleness is a gentle person, a gentle Christian is the one who knows who he or who she is in Christ. A gentle person knows his identity in Christ. Therefore, he's secure. Therefore, he treats others well. Therefore, he's able to respect others because he or she knows who they are in Christ. They are not insecure. They are able to respect others. They are able to be nice to others. They are able to be kind to others. They have no tendency to show forth who they are because they know who they are. They don't have to prove to others who they are, but they know inside who they are. Only such people can be gentle as a Christian. So, if you want to know whether you have love inside, check these things. How much patience you have, how gentle you are, how kind you are. When we study the life of Jesus, one of the reasons I love to read the Gospels is you can see how the Lord functioned. See, many times the Lord had confrontation with the leaders, the pretentious people, but he was always nice and compassionate and loving towards the ordinary people. Whether they were Jews or Gentiles, he was very kind and very loving. The only time he had confrontation, or even when he showed anger, it was against the Pharisees, the leaders, who pretended to be godly, but who were not. And who had the law with them, but never practiced it. And that's the reason he was angry. But he was very nice, very kind. Even when people tried to kill him, stone him, or throw him down from a cliff, the Bible says he just walked away. He did not confront them. He did not try to prove how much power and authority he had. He just walked away. When the people in that particular city were, there were several pigs and they drowned and the citizens of the city said, Lord, please go away from here. He just left. That is gentleness. He knew who he was. He could have destroyed that city. He could have just shown his power to them, but he didn't do that. And if you and I can get to that place in our lifestyle, by having our roots in His love, we will impact our city better than the way we would otherwise just go and share the gospel. People want to see how Christian life is lived. They want to see the examples of Christians. They don't want to hear a lot of preaching about the nice things of the Bible. They want to see true Christians. Now, believe me, we have an inheritance of that. The first century Christians in India, the St. Thomas Christians or the Syrian Christians as they are known, if you read the history of India, I have checked several books written by several historians, both European and Indian, and they all unanimously agree to one thing, that the first century Christians of Kerala were well respected because of their lifestyle. And that is the inheritance we have. And you can, these are secular historians. So you can go to the different bookstores, buy the historical bookstore. One or two you can get in the e-books in the internet. Read through it. One of the book I recommend is a book written by one of the authorized Indian historian by the name Panikkar. And he has written a marvelous book listing all the incidents right from the first century throughout the British history. And he says, the first century Christians in Kerala were well respected. He says they were in their faith they were Christians, but in their lifestyle they were Indians, and they truly experienced what it means to be an Indian Christian. And I think we have that inheritance. And we should try to have that kind of fruit in our life by focusing on the roots. And how can you have your roots strong in the Lord? How can you have your roots grow down into the love of Jesus? Is by walking by the Spirit. And how do you walk by the Spirit? So one question leads to another one. I'll give you the answer. Walking by the Spirit is very simple. You read the Bible, pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is showing you from the Bible, start doing it. That is how you walk by the Spirit. Many people think walking with the Spirit means to hear what the Lord is saying and then you can do that. That is actually part B. Part A, the foundational aspect of walking with the Spirit is simply doing what the Bible says as and when Holy Spirit shows you something from it. If you would simply do that, whatever Holy Spirit shows you from the Bible, if you would simply practice it, the practicing is important, not just doing once or twice, but if you would consistently do that, it will become your nature. It will become a habit for you, and you would begin to exhibit the nature of Jesus, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let's try to do that. Let's make a decision. Let's begin from today, and let's take up this challenge of showing the rest of the country, showing those who do not know Jesus what it means to be a Christian. And I think I'll close here, but I want to pray about it. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we do understand it's important for us to have the qualities and the attributes of our Lord Jesus in our lives. And we do recognize that we have been called to be so. And we also acknowledge that, Lord, many times our focus has been on different things and on the superficial things. But today, Lord, we do accept that, admit that before you, and ask for your grace, Lord, so that our lives are rooted, well-rooted and grounded in your love, Lord Jesus, so that we begin to manifest the qualities of our Lord in our lives, in our lifestyle. Others can see, others can read. As the Bible says, we become the living epistles of the Lord Jesus that others can read. And I pray that by doing so, we will be able to impact our nation, our city, our towns, and people will be drawn to the Lord. I ask for this grace for every person sitting here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.